Good morning. Good morning. I welcome you to this divine service as we, like the disciples, met and meet the risen Lord. The first reading for this third Sunday of Easter is found recorded in the book of Acts as we read from the third chapter. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your fathers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord." The epistle reading for the day is found recorded in the first letter of St. John. We read from the third chapter. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of our Lord. God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be multiplied upon each of you, both now and forevermore. Amen. The word of God to which you and I would direct our attention on this third Sunday of Easter is the gospel reading for today, as we hear and see Jesus meeting with his disciples and once again showing himself to be alive. My dear friends in Christ, today we must say that the Easter season is in full swing with the wonderful news of Jesus' resurrection. With that news, we see that death has been defeated, that the grave has been opened, and that Jesus truly is alive. That's the good news that fills our hearts with joy, and that's the news that this world can never take away from us. Today we hear of another opening, and it is Jesus opening the minds of his disciples to understand the scriptures, as he says in this gospel reading. And that's great news. To not understand the scriptures would mean that to not understand the scriptures, the open tomb and Jesus' resurrection would give you and me no comfort. Yes, you and I, like the disciples, need minds that are open to the word of God, so that we too may believe the good news that the open tomb and the living Christ brings to all of us. This open-mindedness that our Heavenly Father gives is so very different than what our world wants it to be. To the fallen world, to be open-minded is to embrace every kind of thinking, to embrace the idea that there is no absolute truth, to embrace the idea that we need to be open and accepting, even tolerant of different interpretations and judgments. To this fallen world, to be open-minded is to let all sorts of things fill our minds, every kind of worldly wisdom and supposed enlightened thinking. But you know, the result of the world's idea of open-mindedness is that our minds begin to resemble a landfill, with all of those bits and pieces of worldly wisdom being dumped in and mixed together, causing confusion, causing doubt. And we would find ourselves joining Pilate and asking the question, what really then is truth? You see, this kind of confusion had taken hold of the disciples after Jesus' resurrection, or rather after his crucifixion, death, and burial. Jesus had appeared to them, and St. Luke tells us that they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And doubts arose in their hearts. Yes, doubts. They were stirred up. Think how a stream becomes muddy when you take a stick and lift that rock and probe a bit. All of the stuff that had filled the disciples' minds got stirred up. Their thinking was clouded. All kinds of thoughts and ideas and worldly wisdom was stirring in their heads. They didn't know what to think, and they didn't know what to believe concerning Jesus' resurrection. Could they have been asking the question, could someone really come back to life after he had died? Was Jesus really who he said he was? Why didn't God save him from the death of the cross? Could this be a real body that's standing in front of us? Let there be no question, the disciples were confused, just as many are confused today with the news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And yet here, Jesus comes to the disciples. He opens their minds. He cleans out what we'll call all the junk. And he filled their minds with his word. Yes, he filled their minds with the word of his truth and heavenly wisdom, as he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And you are witnesses of these things. You know, my friends, only Jesus can open the tombs of our minds. And only Jesus can fill us with the light of his word. Yes, it is Jesus who hears our repentant cry. It is Jesus who comforts our hearts and minds with the message of forgiveness. Only Jesus can give you and me a heart and mind that knows and believes that though he was crucified, dead, and buried in that tomb, he truly is the risen and living Savior. So yes, as Jesus opens the tomb of our minds and fills our minds with the eternal truth of his resurrection victory, he is opening heaven to each one of us. And that's what Christ is doing here today, in this hour, and throughout his church on earth. Did you notice how St. John in the epistle reading calls us children of God? And what a wonderful description of our relationship now with our Heavenly Father. We are all children of God, regardless of our age. We're his children through the water and the word of holy baptism. Yes, we are his children, born through that water and united with Christ in his death. We have been united with Christ as he rested in the tomb. But what is more, we have been united with Christ in his Easter victory, his resurrection from the dead. Yes, through the water and the word of the Spirit, the tombs of our minds have been opened and they have been filled with the truth of the risen Christ. Not just once, but over and over again. Yes, as we continue to return to our baptism in repentance and faith, as we return to our baptism to clean out all of the junk that the world has dumped into our minds, as we return to our baptism to be absolved of all of our sinful thoughts and words and deeds and desires, and as we return to our baptism to be filled with the truth, yes, with the truth and the forgiving love of Christ's redeeming sacrifice and his Easter victory over death and the grave. But there's something more. After God first acts upon us, and as we receive, then you and I are also able to act just as were the disciples. Just as our children learn how to speak by being spoken to, and how our children learn to act by imitating their parents, as children of God now, you and I do the same. Notice how after Jesus opened the minds of the disciples and filled them with his truth, he calls them to be the eyewitnesses. He sends them out so that they can tell others of what they have seen and heard, and what they believe in their hearts. Yes, they'll go with the Spirit. They'll go to speak just as they have been spoken to. They'll go to love just as they have been loved by the Savior. And they'll go to forgive just as they have been forgiven. And it will be by their faithful work and by the power of the Holy Spirit that minds that had been cluttered with the confusion and doubt, the minds that had been burdened with sin and the reality of death, yes, they will be opened and filled with the light and the comfort of Christ's gifts, his life-giving gifts of forgiveness and salvation. Now, it's important that I also say this morning that not all worldly wisdom is bad. God has blessed us with many great minds throughout the centuries, so much so that we have seen advances in medicine and technology and so much more. And yes, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving to God for giving us these great minds. But with that good, we recognize that the bad can also come. Whether it be false witness or false wisdom, false gods, false truths, which the prince of the world continues to use to cloud our hearts and our minds, and so to deceive and lead us into disbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. But the greater wisdom with which our minds must be filled, is the wisdom that rules all worldly wisdom, that we would know what is true and what we would know is false, so that we would know what is good and what is not good, what is godly and what must be avoided. And that is the wisdom of Christ and his word. He is here for you. He is here to fill you with His gifts. He is here to forgive you all of your doubts and all of your fears. He is here to fill you with His life-giving body and blood, that you too may go, that you too would give. My friends, the Spirit of Christ is working through you as you share His word, opening and filling hearts and minds with the word of Christ, that through the word of Christ, heaven would be opened with all of its eternal joys. So my friends, even as you and I gather in this church on this Sunday morning, let us go forth from this building with the sound on your voices that indeed Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.